Spellbound is a femtastical, actual play D&D podcast. It follows the adventures of Princess Thea, the human sorceress played by Lydia Miller.
Is there something wrong with Luminary that I should know?
Delalia, the elven ranger, played by Kelsey Botwinick-Caruza.
There's probably something sinister afoot. If you guys want to come check it out.
Felix, the gnome fighter, played by Rebecca Munoz.
I had no idea you were a performer. This is fantastic.
And me, your dungeon master, Emma Carter. Although we may look like a child-friendly podcast, Spellbound contains adult language and themes. See the content warning in the episode notes. If you're new to the podcast, or maybe you just need a refresher on what's happened so far, visit emmakcarter.com/storiesofar. You can also find a list of characters we've met so far and bios for the players and their player characters at emmakcarter.com/spellbound. Spellbound is brought to you by our wonderfully supportive patrons on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, our patrons get to enjoy special bonus content, including access to our Discord, first look at new artwork, bonus audio content, the wedding video of Lydia's meowage to her cat Yasa, and more. If you like what you hear, consider becoming a patron today and check out our various tier options at patreon.com/spellpod. When last we left our heroes, they just rescued three strangers from two ferocious displacer beasts and a flock of devious imps. The three people they rescued turned out to be V, the half-elf, half-orc barbarian, Perkins, the half-tiefling, half-halfling, and Princess Cat, the Fearbulk Princess of Haven, the Kingdom of the North Wood. Now they're making good on their promise to return Oglin to his home, but seem to have stumbled into yet another community in need. What will they do next? Let's find out. I will see you in the story. Left off, Delalia had just rode off into the distance on Punkin, the giant goat, with Oglin in tow towards where she believes Oglin's family is. And Delalia, I had said that you were able to get ahead of everyone because you're on Punkin. So behind you are Princess Thea and Princess Cat. Not too far away from you, Princess Thea, you see that V is close by, keeping a watchful eye on you two, and they don't look particularly happy to see you and the princess so close to each other. Felix, you were talking to Perkins, and you had Ramsay alongside you. Do we remember where Dashing ended up? Was he with you, Princess Thea, or
was he
with Delalia?
He was with me last. I gave him an acorn, my acorn, and told him to throw it at anything that came towards him.
And he did.
Yeah, because he had his own, and now he has yours. That's right.
Now he has mine.
So we'll track
that.
Go ahead, sorry.
We also have Hilda. Let's not forget. I keep forgetting about her.
And Hilda.
So
and
I'm
Peggy.
Nervous about Hilda.
I know, right? No. I'm just like, ugh.
And not for her, about her.
But she's just a girl. She's
what if
just
she's
a friend.
Not, Emma? The fact that you're thinking that makes me...
Yeah, like, the fact that you're saying that means she don't protest too much.
No. Do you want me to tell you so that you know it. Either way?
No.
Wait, let me roll. I lost the mouse. I can't... With these
roll perception or investigation?
Roll insight.
Lore? Oh, insight's good. Let's do insight. That makes sense.
I'm just a little sus because she's been targeted twice now by a servant of Zendaya. So Zendaya. I'm a little sus right now. Like,
oh wait, lore's not a thing. What am I doing? Oh, insight.
Kelsey, you can't just make up mechanics.
It seems that I don't know.
Oh, no!
What did you roll, Kelsey? Oh,
she rolled a one. Oh, my so God. I feel like I don't know.
Like, real life Kelsey rolled a one for not knowing. So, let me see. What does that mean?
I'm gonna try.
You'll never know, Kelsey.
You're like the You'll hard choices know. That I get kicked out of the game.
No!
And I think Thea does, too.
What is happening? You guys! Hilda is an enigma.
Let's just get it out of our systems. And she's not even hot.
She's a child.
That's why I rolled 12. A one, so she's a not hot enigma.
She's a not hot enigma. Hilda is a child, therefore she cannot be hot. She is underage. Hilda is with you.
Wow, we all suck at this.
What did you roll?
I rolled a 3.
Oh my God. Oh my, literally a 1, a 2, and a 3.
Literally a 2.
Well, let's hope that was our practice roll for the night.
Yeah. Lucky.
Yeah. Yep.
We're warming up.
It's an intelligence thing. That's not Felix's strong point.
Oh, mine is. That is the highest thing that I have is wisdom.
And yet you rolled an 8.
Yes, I'm aware.
I thought you wanted to help us, Lydia.
Sorry.
I'm teasing. I teased. That was mean. I'm sorry.
3. So, Felix, you have Hilda and Perkins beside you. Mm-hmm. And let's say that Dashing is with you as well. Like, Dashing is riding on top of Ramsey, needing a break after all of that action and trying to walk on his own for a while. And since we just talked about Felix, let's start with Felix. And I believe you said that the last thing Perkins said is that it was, Perkins?
A long story.
It's a bit of a long story. What exactly was the question that you just asked me just a moment ago? I feel as if weeks have gone by since
I know. Let's see what it was. I believe it was, Jesus Christ.
I think it was just a little recap.
I think it was. What exactly are you guys doing out here, outside the like your kingdom, town, village, wherever you're from? I assume kingdom, princess.
Oh. Yes. We are from the kingdom village of Haven, is what we call it. You might know it as the Northwood. That's what outsiders seem to, or you know, those who are not from the forest seem to call it when they pass through. So yes, we are from the kingdom of Haven, and we were out here because we were looking for food, foraging. To be perfectly honest, the princess did get a bit distracted and might have followed a butterfly out into the clearing. And then Perkins kind of looks over at the princess and tries to say that a little bit quietly so that she won't hear him. Just to Felix
and
the rest.
Can Thea hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Thea, I think
does she think it's adorable? Does she hate it?
She thinks it's Thea, adorable. I think Thea, you're too far ahead. You and the princess are kind of up ahead in the middle. Okay. And cool. Princess
lost in each other's eyes.
Is just kind of like talking, just like talking a mile a minute. And at this point, I don't even know if you know what she's talking about because you're just staring at her.
I'm just staring at her with like sparkles in my eyes, just going,
wow. That's adorable. I'm loving every moment of this.
Felix Perkins continues, thank you again for saving us. That was, wow, you were, I mean, I didn't get to see everything, but that, your friend, the one on the goat, wow, she was, oh, or I shouldn't presume, the elven warrior.
Kelsey? Out of game. I want to make sure I get this right. Is it
I'm galloping off into the distance.
Okay. Well, you Sorry, gallop. What's your pronouns? What's Delilah's pronouns?
She her.
Okay. She her. Delilah's she her. As far as I know.
Oh, she was. Wow, that was amazing.
She is very impressive.
Delilah's, what her name was.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And he's getting a little blushy.
He's into it.
You can see behind his spectacles. He's getting a little blushy.
I love that so much.
How can you not?
Little squish, little squishy tiefling boy. He loves her. Or I shouldn't say that. That's metagame. Anyway, we were out, you know, doing work. I'm technically on a break right now. It's my day off. It'll be fine.
Day off from what?
Oh well, you know, it's a Saturday. Do Saturdays exist in fantasy world?
You're the god. No. You created this planet. Well, like, what do you?
Yes. Actually, yes. There's no school today, so I don't have to be at the school. So I thought I would help the princess with her work. And, you know, V goes everywhere. The princess.
Oh,
goes
you're because... a teacher.
Yes. Yes. I am. I teach. I teach kindergarten.
That explains so much. Okay.
Of course he does.
That's adorable.
Ah, yes.
Perkins.
Yes, he scratches his face. Professor Perkins.
Sorry,
well, they don't call me that. They just call me Mr. Perkins, you know. But you can call me Professor if you want.
I bet a lot of them call him Professor Perkins.
Professor Perkins.
I would if I was in kindergarten.
That's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
You know, I couldn't pronounce my R's until I was like 11. Like, it went really long.
Oh.
I was oddly verbal at a very young age, which probably surprises nobody.
Astonished.
I know, but apparently my uncle would like come over when I was 2 and I would just be like walking around the house and I would like point to my parents and be like, or my brother and my dad playing baseball, and I'd be like, David and Daddy are playing baseball in the backyard. And he's like, what is happening?
Is she okay?
My child. She knows too much. But yes, that's about me. What else was it that you said you, what else did you ask? I'm sorry. I'm a bit in shock after the whole, you know, almost getting eaten by 2 giant beasts.
I really wish I wrote down what I asked. I didn't.
That's okay. What is it that you're curious about right now?
this other group of refugees, I think you called them?
Ah, yes. Yes.
These refugees that you said also live in the forest, where exactly did they come from? If they're not from here.
Oh, yes, that's the story. Oh, well, so, you know, not too long ago, just before winter, this group of people showed up in the forest, and they apparently didn't have a place to live, and so, you know, the King Ward said that they could stay in the forest so long as they didn't hurt anybody or cause any harm, but apparently they did not make good on that promise and actively harmed someone or something, and so King Ward did tell them to leave. Now they are living just by the river up just north of here, just outside the forest.
King Lore?
What?
King Ward, W-A-R-D, named after Graham Ward, friend of the podcast. You're king, Graham.
Oh, by the way,
you're king, baby.
Our friend, Mr. Tarwater, at the Pride Festival at the Black Dog. He's very kind.
That's fun. Was he pleased to meet you?
Yes, it was really funny. He came up and he was like, I don't know how to say this without sounding weird, but I've heard your voice. I listened to the podcast.
That's such a...
Clokey boy. He was like, I'm Clokey boy.
So what exactly?
Oh.
Oh no. Real life encounter.
Roll initiative.
So what exactly happened? Like, who got hurt? What happened there exactly?
Perkins scratches his head and up ahead, Felix, you hear V scoff, and Perkins looks over at V and says, to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure
everything that went down, but I know that V was definitely one of the people involved there, and V is very protective of the princess. Obviously, V is her guard. They mm-hmm. watch the princess, always take care of her, you know, protect her from beasts and the like, but also just in general, tries to be protective of the forest. So I know that they're very protective about everything here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is good. That's good. You know, everybody has their strengths. Everybody has their talents.
Yeah. Personality says a lot, though.
V, do you, if you're comfortable, do you, like, what exactly is going on? What exactly are we walking into here? The last thing I want to do is walk some children into an ambush.
V pulls back a little bit, giving the two princesses a little more alone time, more so than they've had before. And yeah. V is still walking ahead of you, Felix, but a little, like, just slightly ahead of you. And they've got their arms crossed. You see that Wolfie the Wolfertinger? Is that how we say it? Wolfertinger? Mm-hmm. Wolfertinger. Wolfie the Wolfertinger, which is like a rabbit, bird, jackalope hybrid with sharp teeth, is hopping along beside V, kind of like grunting. Like, imagine the most like gnarled old dog or cat, but now it's a bunny. That's how Wolfie is. They like wheeze a little bit like a pug.
Yes, like Hector from These Dark Materials, a little bit
happier. Sorry, Lydia, we didn't catch
like,
that.
It's like Hester from His Dark Materials, but like a little bit crotchetier.
I love that for him. Mm-hmm. Or Whippy. A menace. A public menace.
And to answer your question, Felix, you see V kind of just spits in a masculine way, and they say, oh gosh, did they have a voice? I think it was just kind of sexy. I think they had a sexy
grumpy
voice. Grumpy and sexy. They defaced a tree in our sacred glen.
No one knows how to respond to that. Sacred
there,
glen.
So.
Oh, that's right. You're not there. Right. And you're off in La La Land.
No, sorry.
Dang it. Okay.
This is on you, Chris.
No.
Dashing is just like, oh, that sucks.
A sacred glen. What's, is that like a place of worship?
Yeah. It's a glen and it's sacred. And they were camping there with our permission after they already moved in without our permission.
Didn't the king give them permission though?
Only after they moved in. And then they returned the favor, not only by vandalizing a tree in the sacred glen, they're also stealing from us.
What were they stealing?
Food.
Don't they need that though?
Yeah, and so do we.
So you can't share?
They can get their own food. We have a whole village full of people who need to eat. Why should we give them some of our food? What are they doing in return for us, other than defacing our property?
I mean, how did they deface, like, what happened?
And V's eyes narrow, and they say, they were carving into a sacred tree.
Did they know not to do that?
They knew it was a sacred glen.
But were they told they can't carve into the tree? Me and Felix are struggling so hard not to just be rude to this person.
Something shouldn't have to be explained. If someone says that you're staying on sacred ground, you should show some respect. And V's gonna step forward again and like distance themselves from you and Perkins and Ramsey and Dashing and Hilda.
Well, they sure are friendly.
Oh, yes. V is just, this is, and Perkins sighs and says,
I thought I was uptight.
Life hasn't been exactly easy for V. I don't know if I should say anything without their permission, but they have a reason to be cautious around strangers.
Oh. I mean, that's fair, but there's cautious and then there's being rude.
and freaking does that anime thing where they put their hand behind their head and they see the little sweat drop, and they just he just laughs a little nervously, like, ah, yes, well.
So Haven, is it? It's like a kingdom. It's a whole kingdom. Yeah, I'm from Wonder Trundle. It's nearby, but I've never really heard of Haven or been there, and so I'm very curious.
Oh, well, yeah, yes, we're a kingdom, small kingdom, just in the forest, you know, not too big. I've never been to Wonder Trundle. Oh, that's interesting. I'd love to sit down with you sometime, maybe over a cup of tea. You could tell me a little bit about where you're from. I'd love to be able to, maybe you could talk to the children and tell them about it. And you see little stars in his eyes as he gets excited about that.
Another anime situation.
Yeah, this guy's just a walking anime. I love it. I mean, yeah, sure. I'm not really, I've never really taught like a teaching situation. I've never really done that. So,
well, I might be getting a bit ahead of myself. We probably should wait to see if the king lets you stay.
is he not particularly welcoming of strangers in the kingdom? I take it you guys don't get a whole lot of outside visitors.
Yes, that would be fair. We don't get a lot of outside visitors. I wouldn't say that he's particularly unwelcome, but definitely with the tensions between our kingdom and the outsiders, the refugees, it's definitely made it a bit of a tense situation. Mm. And as you're having that conversation, Rebecca, I do want to shift over.
Yeah, no, please, thank you. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Lydia and Princess Kat, or Princess Thea and Princess Kat. Kat has been just talking, 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 and then finally she stops to catch her breath and she says,
sorry, I talk too much when I'm nervous, and I'm still a little bit excited because, oh, wow, we just almost died. Oh, wow, that was pretty intense. And now you're here, okay. and this is new and exciting, and I'm gonna stop talking right now.
And she puts her hand over her mouth.
You don't have to. It really it doesn't bother me when you talk. I kind of love it. I just want to know about you. I don't really know. I mean, I know a lot of like people of the court, but I don't really get along with them. So it's nice to meet somebody that, I don't know, you just feel very familiar.
Thanks. What's a court?
Oh, well, it's a place where stuffy people with bad attitudes get together and show off. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's what it is back home. So what's it like in your home?
We live in the woods, and she throws out her arms and she gestures like to the left, and you see the tree line.
We live in the woods, and it's pretty cool. And it's pretty chill most of the time. And sometimes it gets kind of boring. And other times it can be really stressful. But then other times it's not so bad. So, yeah. I don't know. What do you want to know?
Oh, no. Do you like it? I didn't even know this place was up here. I probably should have. I hope that's not offensive. We don't really. My kingdom is very closed off. They don't really like magic or outsiders of any kind. And so, I'm just learning a lot very quickly about the outside world. And I guess I'm just curious, what is it like? Do you like it there? Do you get along with your people? Do you get along with your parents? Do you get to make your own choices?
She's taking in all these questions at once.
I don't know. Do you have any traditions that you are you like, I don't know, do you have to sing any stupid songs at festivals or I don't know.
You're asking questions, and you see that she's trying to like think of an answer to all the questions at once, and she's like, I have a good relationship with my dad. Yeah, and my mom. I do like it here. Sometimes it can be a little stressful knowing that I'm going to be like the queen one day. But other than that, it's pretty cool. And you must be from Southern Eos, right? Like you're from the south?
Yes. South. East? Is that how this map works?
Is it?
Yes.
It is southeast. Yes. I'm not good at cardinal directions.
Comparatively to the Northwood, yeah, you're a little bit south. You're like technically southeast of the Northwood. Yeah.
Okay, so Thea doesn't stumble as much as Lydia does. She says, yeah, we're in the southeast. We're in Highgard.
Oh, I think, yeah. No, I've heard of Highgard before. I can't honestly say that I know many people from Highgard, but we've definitely heard of like the kingdoms, like that the settlers set up when they came here a while ago. She kind of leans down and she says, "You might want to be careful about." Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go.
I was just gonna say. We've been here a while. I'm not sure how long humans live necessarily. I think you guys live longer than Firbolgs, which out of like metagame, Firbolgs are kind of like elves. They can live to be like, I think 300 might be the max. So they can live a little bit longer. I've never been to Highgard. I've really never been out of Haven. That's my kingdom, by the way. You're welcome to, well, almost welcome to Haven. I guess you're not inside yet. But I haven't really been there. I've never really met too many people from there. I've never been outside of Haven. I've really never, I mean, the woods, and she gestures to them. But I have heard things about, you know, the kingdoms that came up after the explorers, the adventurers came over to Eos and settled here. And she looks away as if she was about to say something, but then stopped herself.
So you guys have been here since before the settlers. We were always taught.
My dad has. I'm not that old.
How old are you?
I'm 17.
Oh, that's about how old I am. I mean, I'm 16, but... So... Is your dad... It seems like maybe they're not the biggest fans of the settlers. I don't know anything about them except what I've been taught, and you know, it's gonna be a little bit skewed because they want it to be happy happy all the time, so, but it seems like maybe that's not how you guys viewed them.
Well, I have talked to some people who have definitely have a negative view of the settlers, the adventurers, that, and she kind of shrugs like she's not sure what to say. She says, she looks like she's trying to change the subject, and she says, but it's so cool to meet you, a princess from one of those kingdoms. That's awesome. We've never been visited by royalty from one of the others, and you know, maybe if you meet my dad, that could be a good thing. Or, and then she gets a thought and she stops in her tracks and she looks at you and she says, or do you think your kingdom could maybe help?
See, the thing is, I'm kind of an outcast from my kingdom. They don't like magic. Oh. I think I said, particularly my dad, the king, doesn't like magic of any kind, and I have it.
Wait, stop. Who? What? How can you not like magic?
And she's looking at you like incredulously. I don't really understand it either. What? It just seems very scared of it. It's weird because I found out that my mother was magical. Like, very, very magical. But she disappeared when I was very young, and my father always said it was because of the magic. And so he shut the kingdom off and made magic punishable by death. And I performed magic on accident, and then not so much on accident. And so I'm kind of banished, I think. He was going to try and marry me off. Yeah, to this prince from Luminary, which I am. I ran away. I ran away. And I've been adventuring with my friends and getting to learn more about Eos, and if I were able to return, if I could convince him that magic isn't so bad, I would love to help you.
As you finish talking, Princess Thea, you realize that the moment you mentioned the word luminary,
I knew it!
Her demeanor shifted a little bit, and she looks away again and kind of holds her, like, she, like, rubs one arm with the hand of the other arm, you know, just kind of, like, fidgeting as you, and she's still listening, but she's made visibly uncomfortable when you bring up that name.
You don't have to if it'll make you upset, but is there something wrong with Luminary that I should know? I mean, I think my brother is supposed to be married off to their princess as well, and if our families are supposed to be connected, I want to know if I should, you know, be aware of anything.
Kat looks at you, Princess Thea, and then she glances over her shoulder at V, like she doesn't want to say anything in front of V. And then she lowers her voice and she says, I know someone who their life got turned upside down because of Luminary.
Whatever you tell me, I will keep it a secret. I promise. I have no loyalty to the kingdoms of Eos, the settlers of Eos. They've pretty much kicked me out, so please speak freely.
Ooh, 21 for Princess Thea.
I should say I have no blind loyalty to the kingdoms.
Because you're cute.
To the southern kingdoms of Eos. human kingdoms. I have no blind loyalty to the human kingdoms of Eos.
And as you say that, Princess Thea, your hair kind of falls in front of your face a little bit and you like brush it up behind your ear and your eyes are just so beautiful. And Kat is looking at you and she blushes a little bit as your faces are just a little closer together. And she says,
okay, I feel like I can trust you. I have a friend. And she like reaches for your hands and takes your hands and she says, I have a friend who was hurt by the Kingdom of Luminary, but I'm not supposed to be talking to them. But maybe if you could, maybe your kingdom could do something to help them get their home back.
Listeners, this is your DM, Emma Carter. I'd like to take a moment to thank you, the listener, for pressing play. If you want to connect with us on social media, maybe say hi or give us a shout out, make sure to follow us at The Spell Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you share this podcast and tag us or hashtag The Spell Pod, I'll put your name on my NPC naming list. So gently caress that share button if you too want to become a part of our fantastical Spellbound universe. If you've ever thought about starting your own podcast, but aren't really sure which host site to use, we recommend Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout is our host site, meaning that's where we upload all of our episodes, and then Buzzsprout works its magic to get our shows listed on every major podcast platform. With Buzzsprout, you'll get a great-looking podcast website, audio players that you can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening, which is one of my favorite parts, as well as tools to promote your episodes, like those sound bites we share. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. If you want to check them out, you can follow the link in the show notes, and that will let Buzzsprout know that we sent you, which gets us a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan. So if you want to help support our show and give yourself a chance to start your own podcast and share your own opinions and creative energy with the world, give Buzzsprout a try. All right, let's get back to our heroes.
we're going to switch over to Delalia, who is bounding north along the river and the tree line towards, towards where, she does not know. But as you are riding, Delalia, you leave your friends behind pretty quickly, and it doesn't take you that long, maybe like 15 or 20 minutes, and the entire ride, Oglin is silent. He's just holding his lute and holding tight to Punkin. And right about...
What's his physicality tenseness-wise?
He is like, in general, he seems to hold himself inward, like he's protecting himself. But as you are getting closer to your destination, you see as he starts to look around and maybe recognize things. He doesn't say anything, but he kind of edges forward a little bit on Pumpkin and is looking around as if he's searching the horizon for something. And it's only when you start to see something ahead of you in the distance that he raises one finger and points and he says, "There." But it's so quiet that, like, you're not even sure if you hear it.
Okay. I also want to add that I have been humming.
Aww.
Like, a rhythmic, natural humming with, like, to the beat of our gallops. So, to calm him and, like, to try to make him feel a little better. Aww, but I definitely go in the direction where he dares.
Awesome. I don't want to make you roll anything for that. I think that the humming definitely helps. It helps him loosen up a little bit. He doesn't say anything, but you can sense that he physically relaxes a little bit once, like, you guys get into the rhythm of the ride. And about like 10 minutes in, he seems more relaxed. And that's probably why he feels comfortable enough to speak and say, "There," and point at what you see as you get closer. Looks to be a camp, like a makeshift mini village of sorts with a couple of structures that seem not incredibly sturdy, some tents, some like imagine Three Little Pigs, like the house made out of straw, the house made out of sticks. You don't see any houses made out of bricks in this encampment.
The straw sticks.
Okay. But there's definitely tents and there's definitely some like wooden structures, and they all look very makeshift.
My size, like I could sleep in them?
Yeah.
Or do they seem little? Okay.
No, they seem to be your size. And as you get closer, Pumpkin is bounding and like the ground is kind of rumbling, and you see up ahead of you there are a couple people who are like shaking a little bit as Pumpkin gets closer. Okay. You see like one shorter person kind of go like, "Ah!" and like run away and drop a bowl. But then some other people just kind of stand and watch and look at you curiously, and you slide to a halt, and you're looking down, and there's an assortment of people in the middle of this encampment. You see some, let's see here, I wrote this down. I'm going to say probably there's about like 20 people, an assortment of different races and ethnicities. At this moment, you see some dwarves, some orcs, some halflings of all different genders and ethnicities. You see one, what looks like to be maybe like a half-human, half-dwarf. And then you also see, let's see here, as you stand there, what do you do as soon as you're parked?
So we ride up and Pumpkin slows down and I spit. And then, like, push back my leather. It's like a Indiana Jones hat.
Yes.
Push it back. And I'm like, "Any you know Oglin?"
And you say, "Oglin," and everyone gasps. And they draw closer, and Oglin peeks his little head over Pumpkin, but he's too small to get down by himself.
And I'm not letting this motherfucker down until someone seems to be a legal guardian. Like, we're not playing around. I just saved him.
You see people saying like Oglin, they have Oglin, and people are like repeating that to each other, and it's kind of getting passed around. And then finally you hear a voice from further away says, "Oglin." And a little form comes rushing towards you, followed by, so you see, let's see here. You see two figures rushing towards you. One is a halfling woman. She is running towards you as fast as she can. Behind her is an orcish woman in a wheelchair made out of wood. And she is rolling as quickly as she can to get towards you. And they both
stop right below Punkin, and they're looking up at you. And the short halfling woman says, "Does someone have Oglin? Do you have him? Is he okay?"
And I lift Oglin up and I put him, I'll get down. And I have him, you know, I'm holding him like a baby, like in one side. And I say, "Oglin, do you know these women?"
And he's nodding furiously, and he's okay, kind of wiggling. And
yeah,
he doesn't even have to say anything. You let him down, and he runs forward and just like leaps into the young halfling woman's arms, and she holds him real tight. And everyone in the village applauds and claps. Yay! like, and they don't just applaud; they applaud like this is the standing ovation at the end of the musical.
Like, what musical?
Hamilton.
This is the end of Hamilton.
Whoa.
Yes.
People are crying. Lives changed. No longer racist.
And they are just beside themselves, and they're all looking at you, Delalia, with wonder and awe. And as the small halfling woman is hugging Oglin, the orcish woman rolls forward towards you and says, Who are you? How did you get our son back from those awful people?"
"Wait, who do you think had your son?" "I mean, hi, I'm Delalia. I mean, shit." And then I like take my hat and I knock it to her and I say, "Ma'am, okay, now let's keep going."
Delalia's a cowgirl.
She's trying to do it.
Yeah. So mad. She's trying to be so cool.
She has a new lifestyle while this goat is here, and she's pretty committed to it.
I love it. I love
Anytime
it.
Pumpkin is summoned, Delalia automatically gets a cowboy hat, like an Indiana Jones hat.
It comes with him.
Indiana Jones hat, yes.
And also, when he rears back, he like neighs like loudly. He's like, yeah, for sure.
The woman says, "Well, we thought that the villagers took him, the ones living in the forest."
"Very valid assumption. They didn't, or at least that's not how it ended up. So Oglin was stolen by an Oni who had him with some other children."
What?
"Definitely not ideal. I forgot to talk like myself." "Definitely not these clowns, but I will recognize that they seem to have been shitty to you, and I'd love to hear more about it."
Everyone's whispering now, like, "What? An Oni? Oh no, oh my goodness."
And "Oh, yeah, look, lock up your kids.
Fearful.
Oh, we killed it. Sorry."
Oh, thank God.
Yeah,
oh,
so.
thank new mayor. Yeah. Thank new mayor. Thank Traveler. The goddess. Okay. Thank them all, you know, sure. The whole everything.
All of them.
All of them. Actually, no, thank Astraea. That's what she says. Thank Astraea.
Yes. Her too.
Here, would you like to? Do you need water? Someone get some water. Would you like something to eat? And then you see. Sorry, I should have introduced myself. Orcish woman says, "My name is Arog. I am one of Oglin's mothers."
"Nice to meet you, Arog. Oglin has been no trouble. Sweet boy, been real lovely."
"Thank you so much. This is my wife, Ellen." And then as she gestures to her wife, she kind of moves forward, and Ellen just like kind of like helps Oglin up into Arog's lap, and Arog gets a chance to hug him, and you see tears in her eyes. And then Ellen steps forward, and Ellen says, "Yes, thank you so much. Thank you. I would be honored to
sit down and share your story if you are available for that. I know that you have had a trial today, so if it's not convenient, I do not have to stay. I understand."
Oh no, I believe. And she looks out at the group and she smiles a bit through her tears, and she looks back at you and she says, "We are always happy to tell a story. Here, come, have a seat. Pull up some chairs, everyone." And then just the group kind of all moves together, and they're assembling a seating area by, you see like a fire in the center of the encampment where it looks like there's like a big pot of some kind of soup on the fire that's simmering, and someone brings you a flagon of water. Someone else offers you a little bit of like a little handful of fresh berries.
And I also am a little bit like a little bloody, not super bloodied in D&D terms, but yeah, looking a little rough. But I every single time a new food or whatever happens, I'm like, oh, fuck yes. Ah, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Very appreciative, not standoffish at all. Loving it. Feeling good.
And someone comes up to see if they can help tend to your wounds and give you some bandaging and kind of like help clean off any like bad injuries that you may have.
Nice. Thank you.
I want to give you back health points for that. What's the mechanic for just like, I'm going to look it up real quick. Like first aid, basic first aid. That should be a thing. I'm just going to say roll a D4, Kelsey, or okay. roll 2D4. And you get that much health back. I'm making up a rule. If anyone wants to at me, they can.
Sure. You're the DM. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
If somebody added you.
Add her.
Yeah, we would all come after them, though.
Six.
That seems reasonable and logical.
So yeah, you get some bandages.
Thank you, sir or madam. Or neither. Six.
I love Delilah.
Nice. So yeah, so while we're sitting, I'm just gonna, is it just the moms and me and Auglin or other people are around, right?
No,
we're
like everyone who is in the area, like you've gathered a little crowd here of people. And as more people gather, you notice that the people in this encampment look like they're wearing like fairly nice clothing, like not necessarily like what Princess Thea was wearing when you first met her, but like they look like they would fit in with like the citizens of the Kingdom of Highgard, like when you visited Highgard for the first time. They are mostly non-humans. You do see like one human person or like half human person, but everyone looks to be in like a somewhat nice, if not like nice clothing that they've probably been wearing in the outdoors for a while now. So it's kind of like a little shabby, a little dirty, a little ripped, but they're trying to maintain appearances.
Okay. So from where do you hail?
Oh, well, Arog rolls forward and she says, we are from the town of Arsington. Does Delaney laugh? Or is that Kelsey?
Yeah.
Both?
Yeah, both. Is both an option? And it's just like that, but subtle. Like,
yeah. Okay. Yes. We do get that. We were from the village of Arsington, the town of Arsington.
Why are you no longer in the town of Arsington?
Ellen and Arog look to each other, and Ellen puts a hand on her wife's knee, and she says, "You tell it best, honey." Ellen looks to you, Delalia, and she says, Arog is our prima donna. She's our star. And she smiles at her wife lovingly. And Arog kind of like flips her hair a little bit like, yeah, bitch, I am the star.
She's like a bard. Nice. Oh,
so I feel like they're all bards.
Auglin's a bard.
I feel like this is a traveling band of bards. Like, I feel like they're like traveling performers, maybe.
And as you think that, yeah, Arog kind of takes the center of the circle, and someone somewhere has like picked up some instruments, and they're like setting the mood with like a little bit of like they're setting the mood for this story with some music, Arog is in the center of the circle, and Arog says, "Once upon a time, we were happy, living together in our town of Arsington. People far and wide would come to Arsington. We were known for our fine theatrical productions." And there's a, she gives a flourish, and some people in the audience go, oh, like they miss it. Oh. But we were run out of our home by the Kingdom of Luminary.
Shit.
The crowd goes like, there's like some in the crowd, and she continues. She says, "The Kingdom of Luminary wanted to expand its territory. We had heard the stories of other towns that were swallowed up into its perimeter, but we never thought they would come to us until one fateful day the soldiers marched into our kingdom and informed us that if we were to stay, we would now be subjects of the King of Luminary. But we didn't want that. We are proud citizens of Arsington. And so we left
We packed up our bags and our instruments. We took our set pieces and our props. We took our sewing machines. We took our spindles. And we took our paints. And we took off. We headed down the road. I didn't actually prepare a story, just so you know.
Nice.
This is where you're,
you're doing great, sweetie. You're doing great. Keep going, sweetie.
I like to imagine that is... That is Aerog saying that, like, I wasn't ready for this.
I'm totally pulling this out of my ass.
But I am an improviser, so we packed up our bags and we hit the road. And we set out and we found this beautiful forest. And she gestures to the tree line, which is probably like 20 yards away. And she says, and we thought we'd found a new place to call home until we were... Once more thrown out in the cold, refused aid, and so now here we stay, caught between two worlds.
Home. Do we have a place where no one is yet? Because I need one of those, and I would love a civilization of artists around where I'm about to be for that. So,
well, if you can find a place where no one is, then we will gladly go there and start a new Arsington. It will be this. Yeah. The colony or the town of New Arsington.
And you're pretty committed to that name? Like...
What's wrong with Arsington?
Oh, nothing's wrong. I'm just, like, you know, I was involved in it too, so... I mean, what if we joined a place where other people are and you were still allowed to be massive arses? But they were also allowed for it to be their place. Thoughts? Like, is that... good? Is that adequate? Or do you need a place of your own sovereign Arsington?
Well, I mean, we thought we could make a new home for ourselves in the forest, but they threw us out. They called us thieves, and everyone in the crowd is like, boo. They said that we were stealing from them, but we wouldn't steal from anyone. We were just trying to survive, and they ran us out of our camp, and now here we are.
So you were camping in what they considered their land, obviously. And they thought you were stealing? Was stuff going missing and they were blaming you?
Yes, they called us thieves. Said we were taking their food.
Okay. No, I get it. And that sucks. And I'm sorry for that. Sounds like they weren't super clear about what they considered their food and what was just available that you were taking because it was in nature.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's their bad at that point, I feel like. But it seems like you're handling it well. When are we getting on the road?
They all look at each other and Aerog says, excuse me, what do you mean on the road?
I mean, you're not going to stay here. They said they wanted you out, right? Or
well,
this is fine.
They're letting us stay here as long as we don't go into the forest, but where are we supposed to get food? We have to go into the forest.
Yeah. There's a... Okay, so there's a spot that was inhabited by my ancestors. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to sell you something that I'm lying about here. They were all murdered. All of them were murdered. But it is an ancestral home of the elves. And it's really... has a lot of really good roots. So if you don't want to go with me to like do a whole thing, you're welcome to go check that out. It's called Sylvale. It's in my forest.
Where are you from, stranger? Delalia?
Pause. Where am I from?
You're from a phonatoid.
I'm a phonatoid.
Mayril.
Mayril.
The forest of Mayril. And it is here. And I scratch out on the ground like where Sylvale was. You might encounter either my mother or my mentor. My mother's name is Balastriana, and my mentor's name is Wehea. They were trying to run out the evil that was there. So when that happens, like, wait for that, and then let them know that I sent you.
Oh, you,
right here.
You've traveled far. Then if you're from Southern Eos, my goodness.
Right.
You must... And you said you killed an Oni. My, you must have some... fantastic stories to tell.
Well, the credit is mostly Lauren's. And I pat him and he like flies around and makes pretties. Like he's a ribbon dancer.
Everyone gasps and applauds again.
Because there's an audience.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, I cannot lie. And now Ellen steps forward and Ellen says, I can't lie. I'm not sure how far we would be willing to travel, or able to travel.
That's fair.
But we really appreciate you offering, and that's definitely something we can talk about at the next production meeting. And she looks around at everyone, and like people are nodding, like, yeah, no, we can definitely put that on the agenda. And she says, for now, I'm just really happy that you're here and that you brought back my son. And now that we've shared a story with you, maybe you'll tell us a little bit more about one of your adventures. Maybe that could be fun for everyone, right, everybody? And the crowd is like, yes, yes.
I'm going to roll insight. And like, from Delilah's perspective, does she feel like they really want that? I've rolled a 9.
Delilah, you just see people like smiling at you and looking at you expectantly. Maybe maybe Arog is a little bit like she would rather remain in the spotlight.
But. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I'll do a very short one. Once upon a time. And I like get in the middle. I'm like ready. Delilah doesn't usually tell stories like this. So she's feeling herself a little bit and
this is
like
very out of character. I love it.
Yeah. And this is a different,
it's the goat.
She's changing for sure. So she's in the middle and she's like, once upon a time, there is a boy. He was handsome and he knew it. And he strutted around his kingdom. He had a kingdom, his own, actually, and he was the heir to it. And as he strutted around this kingdom, he knew that that kingdom was his oyster. Until suddenly, everything changed. His kingdom was ripped out from under him, and he was forced to completely change his perspective. A spell was cast on him, and he went from being a powerful, strong prince, covered in golden armor, girls swooning everywhere he was, people coming from worlds away to try to court him, and suddenly he was a feeble, tiny bunny. Without hands, without voice, without protection, completely the opposite of how he was before. So what does he do? What he does is he struggles and he takes time to mourn his old self, and then he becomes a powerful warrior in a team of powerful warriors by playing to his strengths, by recognizing the powers that he has. The powers that he had were never his sexy body or his weapons or his money or anything like that. This whole time, his power was actually his mind and his interactions with people and his charisma and his beautiful, beautiful soul. And now he's able to share that with everyone. The end.
And everyone bursts into applause. Delilah, I don't even want to roll performance. They like it. I just want to see what you get if you roll performance.
Not Delilah's strong suit, but we'll go for it.
Delilah, it's really good, but Delilah has never performed on a stage, and so instead of projecting, Delilah gets like really cinematic and quiet, and so everyone just has to like at first everyone's like scooching in and scooching in, and so everyone's just really quiet because they really want to hear the story. And by the end of it, once it's done, they're all like, oh yay, like they're excited about it. Mm-hmm. And
I would like to think there's a bit of a pause because Delilah just goes back to her seat and sits down afterwards instead of like
is she
a
dead?
Flourish or yeah.
Like, is she dead?
Oh. Oh,
is it over?
That's
a story.
And as you go back to your seat, Delilah, you see that standing behind you are your friends, including Prince Dashing, who is perched on top of Ramsay right now, looking at you.
I had no idea you were a performer. Like, this is fantastic.
Thanks, guys. Trying some new stuff out before I die. Hey, these are my friends, Princess Thea. That's her first name, Princess. Second name, Thea. Felix, Saint Frontrabble, and Ramsay.
That's not true.
Mr. What?
I was saying that my first name is Thea. It's just Thea.
I was joking. And this gentleman's name is Mr. Dashing. So
everyone is just like at first surprised to see more new people. But then when you mention princess, Ellen says, princess of what kingdom? And everyone's like a little on edge. What kingdom are you a princess of?
Oh,
we just call her that.
Oh,
insight check.
Yeah, just like are they about to turn hostile? Like,
they don't look.
I think they're scared. They're scared because of Luminary.
Well, Felix doesn't know that.
Whoa!
Well, Felix does now.
Apparently, he does.
And that one,
Nat 20.
Felix and Princess Thea, especially Princess Thea. Actually, no, both, because you've had conversations just recently with Perkins and Felix. You immediately recognize, like, oh, these people must be scared because they think that your party is from Luminary.
Mm-hmm.
And Princess Thea, you get that same feeling too, because what Kat mentioned to you about Kat knowing someone who was hurt by Luminary.
Yeah, you show that mic.
Yeah. So Thea's just gonna pipe up. She's gonna say, I'm from Highgard, but I am not really a part of the kingdom anymore. I am an outcast.
She renounces her people.
Oh. And everyone's like, oh, okay. And they like look to each other. And Ellen says, I've never met anyone from Highgard, but I've heard that it's a pretty, maybe that's rude to say. I always heard that there was somebody who was cursed there, and that people weren't allowed to do magic and kind of like some weird shit like that.
Yeah, that was
sounds
me.
Right.
I was the one with the. Well, it wasn't actually a curse. So it's a funny story. They kind of hate magic, and I have it, and so they kind of hate me.
They assumed she was cursed. No one was actually cursed.
Yeah. Oh, well, like there is one person who's cursed. Saying currently, that she was cursed.
Yeah, I feel like my dad should have known, seeing as my mom had magic.
Wait, is magic really illegal where you're from? Everyone looks very like, what the fuck?
Yeah, on pain of death, unfortunately, which is why I'm not there.
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess there are worse things than being overtaken by Luminary. Well,
I'm sorry, what?
I'm so glad that you made it out, and they're giving you very sympathetic looks, Thea, like you are the person who made it out of the cult.
Yeah. Yeah, she did make it out.
Like, you're the mole woman. Mm-hmm. I say that with love, because I love that show.
I love it.
You made it out. And
she's wearing like a long dress. Yeah.
Hair back and list type,
right? We're so glad. Wow, you and your friends, Delalia, you're all so interesting and exciting. This is really a treat. And I'm sorry, I think you just asked me a question and I just plowed right all over you. That was oddly sexual. I'm sorry.
Emma.
I'm sorry. Ooh. I had a very good time in Chicago.
You're plowing all over.
Yes, now everyone is
moving right along.
Everyone's looking at your party with wonder. And pity and sympathy, with sympathy and wonder.
Could you tell me a little more about?
Oh my gosh! And I just realized that Kat and V and Perkins are still with you. Okay, sorry. So, when you look around, Delalia, you only notice your friends. It looks like Perkins, V, and Kat aren't there. And then when you glance over with your ranger senses, you see that they're kind of like way back. Like they stayed further away. They're barely even like visible. They're actually like kind of hiding in the tree line.
I see them. Do I know it's them? Or do I think it's just people in the tree line?
Roll a perception check.
Okay. Do I get an advantage because I'm in a forest or we're not in a forest?
You're basically in a forest, so yeah, you can get advantage. You're near the forest. 19.
Hey.
You can tell that it's them.
Oh. So I start to take out my bow, and then I keep it out, but I just lower it. I don't knock it. And I make it clear where Thea. I just saw.
Thea's going to look at Delalia. And then say, hold on a second. Do you think we could mediate a thing? I mean, there's only three of them, and there's a whole town of these guys.
There's been a misunderstanding.
Yeah, there's clearly a misunderstanding here going on. But I take it Oglin was returned to his family?
Yeah, so Oglin was returned to his family.
He just vanished.
They thought that Oglin was stolen by these, like, forest people.
Uh-huh.
And these forest people thought that these people were stealing food, even though they were just, like, living in the forest eating berries and shit.
Yeah, there seems to be a miscommunication going on. I was talking to Perkins about it, and it seems that perhaps they may have defaced a sacred tree in
a
glen.
Deface a tree? Did you deface a sacred tree in a glen?
What? And you guys have been having this whole conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And you, like, turn around.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I go, and then I turn around and I'm like, A-Rog.
A-Rog comes on over. Yes? Hi.
Hey. We're trying to sort of figure out where the miscommunication is right now, because I think that there is a resolution possible. And I'm going to ask a question, and I ask that you answer without defensiveness as much as you can.
Okay.
Did you carve on a tree in their forest?
Arog blinks and says, I don't think so. I didn't.
Yeah, like your people, no idea of that. Like a carver, maybe a sculptor or something, because I know you guys are really artsy.
Or someone was trying to hold up a curtain or something.
Arog looks over towards a group of halflings and says, oh, it's a perfect moment for an NPC naming this moment.
Hey!
Let's see. Oh, I didn't. Okay, let me open Patreon real quick, because we've got some fun ones on the Patreon. Hey, quick mid-episode break. If you join our Patreon right now, you too can add NPC names to our NPC naming list for season 2. So come on down to Patreon and join the fun. This next name was submitted by Pelokey Boy, a.k.a. The Dude. And that name Oh, hey, Sparkle Ward. Sparkle Ward, come over here. And a halfling comes on over. Just a really buff halfling comes over.
Yes.
Oh. Ooh.
Hey, what's up? Oh, did you guys carve any? You said there was a. What did you say was?
I guess there was a tree in their sacred
tree,
like, situation.
A
it might not have been
something?
Well marked. I'm recognizing this. Yeah.
Did you guys carve any kind of sacred tree in that glen? Sparkle Ward thinks and shakes his head and says, nah, man, I mean, not in the glen. You know, I'm a carpenter, so, you know, I make shit out of wood, but I know that we weren't supposed to touch anything in the glen, so we just made sure to get all our wood from other places in the forest.
How far away is that glen from here?
That's right smack dab in the middle.
Guys?
Uh-huh.
I think I know what's on that tree.
Oh, I was...
We have to go
see
it.
Yeah, me too. Get on Funkin'. Not on the same page. I was like, I have an idea, not that idea. Let's go.
What's Delalia's idea?
Delalia's idea is that it was probably some cloaky bullshit on the tree, just like Oglin was taken by some cloaky bullshit. Okay, cool. But I didn't. Yeah.
I think there might be some triangles
on that tree, and we should maybe check it out, because maybe there's something sinister afoot in this town.
Guys, there's probably something sinister afoot.
Wait.
You guys want to come check it out?
That's my line.
Oh. Felix just said something
sinister. No, that was Becca's line.
Oh. Becca just said something sinister.
Just say the fucking line, Delalia.
Something sinister. I can't say it anymore. I've said it so many times.
Wait, what were you saying?
Something sinister is afoot. Probably. So we're going to go check it out. You guys might want to stay here, but do stay close-ish. We'll go see if it's sinister. Hey, can you get that princess? That one princess?
Hey, V and Princess Kat and Perkins, Professor Perkins, I know you're, like, hiding, but I think we're about to resolve this issue, and it would probably be good if you came with us.
Where are you, Princess Thea?
I'm
I'm staring at the spot that Delalia chin thrusted at earlier. So I'm behind. I'm next to Delalia, but I know that they're back there.
Yeah.
You're just yelling all the way.
Hey, you guys! Yeah. Hey, guys! I know that you're like trying to be sneaky and stuff, but I think we figured out what happened to your tree, and I don't think it was these people, and maybe you could come with us?
Wait, who's there?
Could you come what? With us?
Who? Ellen's looking around. Is there somebody?
Oh, Ellen.
Is somebody from the forest here?
No. Just a guide. Somebody we happen to run into. But don't worry, they are far enough back. They are well enough back.
People in the forest?
No, we are not. We are not. We just happened to run into them.
I think there's been
literally outsiders.
There's been a misunderstanding, and we're going to try and help it. I mean, help solve it.
You seem like nice people, and we just want to help you out. And the best thing we can do at the case is investigate. So if you would just like to wait here, we're going to take a look into this and see if maybe we can help you guys either get better living conditions and supplies, maybe, or worst case scenario, we know that maybe this is not the place for you guys to stay, and we can move on.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. You guys are really great. We would appreciate that. And if you could, you know, let them know that we're not stealing their food, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah, that's the plan to mediate. Ooh, do you have a leader?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of me.
Stage manager.
Ellen, yeah, Ellen like raises her hand. She's, yeah, I'm like I'm basically the stage manager. So yeah.
Do we want to bring Ellen with us?
Oh, I do not want to go in there.
Okay.
I think we should.
All right.
We'll just come back and get you later if there's conversation to be had.
Yeah, I just don't want to be attacked again. You know, I would rather not get, like,
again,
my head chopped off, or, you know.
Again? I'm sorry, again?
They've been aggressive.
Well, they threw us. They stormed our camp and told us we had to leave. That tall one with, like, the short black hair. They were scary.
The grumpy
the hot one?
Yeah, he seems like he's got a
prison. Yes, the grumpy hot one.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, right? See, that was my deal. I was like, hey, you're fierce. Oh, you're fierce though? You know, like in the not fun way.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back, okay?
Thank you. And as you're leaving, Ellen calls over to Arog. Arog, have you seen, oh my gosh, Emma needs to remember the name of this character. This person would remember their child's name. Have you?
Oglin.
No, it's
Delalia. Oglin.
Arog, have you seen Arwen?
Mm?
And Arog says, I think she's over there, and kind of like points and says, I'll go get her. I'll go let her know that Oglin's back. You take care of this. I'll do
that. Sibling?
Nice to meet you. And Arog waves at you and heads over towards the direction where she pointed.
I'm nervous about that.
There's a sibling? What? Why? Why are you nervous?
There's an unaccounted for child.
You don't know where she is?
Wait.
Delia runs to make sure the kid's okay, and then it'll come back.
Is this because she's an only sibling sort of thing? Like, she's very concerned about children.
Just kids being lost everywhere.
No, it's
like
because children have been
stolen.
There we go.
That's fair. I guess it's just like with Felix, like gnomes this are kind of free like range children. Like they're this free range like children. And so like, he's just like, yeah, they wander. They'll come back.
I don't want to be rude, but kids go missing from your fucking town. All
that is so fair. That is so fair.
So Delalia, you follow Arog?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But like fast, like.
Oh, whoa, oh, wow.
And she's gone.
And Delalia, you follow as Arog heads over towards the edge of the camp. It looks like there's like a little wooden kind of shack. And you hear the sound of someone like plucking a harp. And as you get closer, you turn the corner with Arog and you see another person.
Ooh, pictures.
A young person who looks to be half halfling, half orc. Let me move you guys real quick over to
half orc, halfling.
And you see, looks like to be like a halfling. They're about like 5'4". So like they're taller than a halfling, but shorter than your average orc. They got short
white hair with kind of like swoopy bangs, and then like it comes down, like the hair comes down to frame their face, but it's like shorter in the back. They've got a little nose ring, and they're plucking on a harp, and it looks like they've got parchment in front of them with like some like sloppily written like handwriting on it and like scratches on it, like they've been working on something. And Arog says, "Arwen," and the half Arwen jumps like, "Oh, hey, Mom! Hi!" Arog says, "Arwen, your brother's back. Oglin's back. Where were you? Why weren't you with..." And oh my gosh, I did myself a disservice. Arwen says, "What? Really? Oh my gosh, that's so cool! Oh, I gotta go see him!" And Arwen just kind of like jumps up and like runs past you towards where everyone else is. And Arog like, turns cool. to look at you, Delalia, and says, "This is our other child. This is that. I'm sorry that she didn't stop and introduce herself. That is Arwen. She's our oldest child. She's a bit of a daydreamer. She's not always the most polite."
That's totally. I was just worried she'd been like kidnapped, or it's been a long trip. No. So yeah, we're good. I'm good. I'll be back in a little bit, hopefully with a resolution for yes guys. Okay.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate this. If you can do this for us, I mean, you've already helped us so much. We will immortalize you and your friends in a story that will last for generations, and we will tell this story to all those we meet in Eos.
Ooh, yeah, that's so neat. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Runs away.
Yeah, we're gonna need to get a better name.
How will our heroes solve this one?
Maybe we'll find out next time on Spellbound. A big thank you to our top tier patrons, The Dude, The Parkers, Laura Carter, Julie Vaughn, Ryan Botwinick-Caruza, Sean Pierre Ringgold, Kat Harker, Nick Price, and Wizard Lucas.
Songs in this episode include Spellbound, Spellbound Part 2, and The Fae by Vince Vept of Bandcamp.com, Kalimba Relaxation Music, and Evening Fall Harp by Kevin McLeod of Incomptech.filmmusic.io, all other music by Alexander Nakarada of Serpent Sound Studios. Until next time.